is leading to that day. Every day you wake up could be that day. Today could be that day. If you're getting shook up, praise God, because we need to be shook. We've gotten so relaxed. We don't even think about eternity. All we think about is right here and right now. That's why people live their lives the way they do. People who live lives bound for hell don't believe there is one. They think that after they die, it's over. But you will spend eternity somewhere. Whether it be heaven or whether it be hell, I don't have one to put you in. But there are some decisions you're going to have to make while you still have time on this side. Somebody say, I got some decisions to make. Yeah, even those of us in here who are saved, we got some decisions to make. Because this sermon is not just for the unsaved. Oh no, we came to rattle the cages of the saved too. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you something. God is concerned with how we're spending our time. Save, Holy Ghost, sanctify, fire baptized, tongue talking, laying on a hand, all slinging people. God's got some concern with how we're living our lives. So he says, but let me help you, so that you won't be totally caught off guard. You're not going to know when I'm coming, but I'm going to paint a picture for you. So when you start seeing certain stuff, you kind of start knowing, getting close. I love the Lord like that. Because see, it says he shares his secrets with the righteous. There's certain things, Sister Brown, that he will only tell us because we belong to him. Don't y'all remember when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He went to Abraham and said, hey, I'm about to take it out. And Abraham said, wait a minute, God, what if there's some righteous people in there? He started with a high number, but now he had to work himself down because there wasn't that many righteous in there. I'm coming to tell you, there ain't that many righteous out there. I don't care how many scriptures they quoting, there ain't that many righteous out there. I don't care how long their robe is, there ain't that many righteous out there. How do you think Lot and his family made it out of there? Well, I mean Lot and his family minus one. She made it out, but she dropped dead on the way. Turned into a pillar of salt. Whatever you do when you get out of there, don't look back. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, don't look back. In fact, Jesus, early in the verses, boy, I feel the anointing. Early in the verses, Jesus said, if the end comes while you in the field, he said, don't even go back to your house. He say, don't go back there to get nothing, because you ain't going to need none of that back there for where you're going. Somebody grab your neighbor. Say, I can't take this stuff with me. So I ain't losing another night's sleep. I can't take no car with me. I can't take no house with me. Come on, somebody say, I can't take no money with me. It ain't going. Losing sleep over temporary stuff. The devil is a lie. I declare and decree by the power of the Holy Ghost and the anointing on my life, we're going to get free in here today. Somebody say, I got a loose grip, loose grip, loose grip, loose grip, loose grip on this stuff. The only thing you ought to be holding on to is your relationship with Christ. Too many things getting in the way. So this is what he says. But as the days of Noah were. Okay, what you talking about? The days of Noah. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, wait a minute. We got a hint now. Okay, okay, thank you. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Talk more, Jesus. Ah! Somebody say, talk more, Jesus. So in the next verse, he says, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. They didn't even see Noah leave. They were so engaged in what they were doing, their own thing. They missed the fact that that fella and all them animals got in that big old boat. How can you be so distracted with worldliness you don't even see the righteous people leaving? God, you mean to tell me a parade of animals just walked into a big old boat and you didn't even notice? Caught up. Oh God, caught up in the world, elder. Caught up in the flesh. Caught up in being sensual. Caught up in pleasing themselves. Somebody say, I can't be caught up. I can't. I'm going to be another kind of caught up. I ain't going to be caught up. Somebody grab your neighbor and say, I ain't going to be caught up with this. But I am going to get caught up. Woo! Well, I feel a Baptist preacher coming out of me right now. And when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But then we, who are alive and remain, shall be. Come on, shall be. Shall be. Together to meet him in the air. Somebody say, I'm going to a meeting. You don't want to be so tied to earth that when he comes to get you, you can't go up. Holy Spirit, move in this place, Holy Spirit. Let this word move beyond excitement. Let it engage us, Holy Spirit. Jesus says in verse 39, look, he doesn't stop. He says, and they didn't know, they did not know, read it, until the flood came. And took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't realize that anything was happening until the flood waters were taking them away. That's when it hit them. That's when it hit them. I should have listened to Noah. He said it was coming, but we just kept on living. He was up there preaching. Good word, too. We got excited, clapped our hands, said amen. But we didn't change our lifestyle. Oh, Lord. We heard the word. We felt God moving in our heart. But we rejected God. Because we wanted to keep living how we wanted to live. The word told me to forgive that person. But I wanted to stay mad. You're going to get caught in the flood. They didn't even know until they were dying. And it wasn't like God didn't extend grace. He did. There was a message preached. Every time you hear the message preached, that's an extension of grace. That's God saying, I love you so much, I want you to be saved. But I'm going to tell you how salvation's going to come. It's through the foolishness of preaching. Preaching gets us excited, yes, but that's not its intent. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is about transformation in our living. It's supposed to make an impact on us. We shouldn't be able to sit in here and have church and leave and be the same. And notice I said we. That means none of us. All of us should be transformed by the preaching of the word of God. They knew nothing until the flood came. This just blew my mind. Here's why. They were sensual and worldly. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Not bad things in themselves, but the problem is that they were consumed with the pursuit of pleasure. Consumed with pleasing themselves. So many ways we please ourselves. Amen. But they were consumed with that. All they wanted was to do what made them happy. Forget what God said. It amazes me how we can come to the house of God, hear the word, know it's right, and then not change. I was telling my wife, I said, it's like losing weight. A doctor can tell a person they need to lose weight. He can tell them they need to quit smoking. But knowing you need to quit ain't going to make you quit. There's got to be a transformation in your heart. In order to get you to change. I told Pastor Leslie I want her to begin praying that prayer. She prayed that prayer over this ministry for so many years. Lord, turn hearts of stone. Y'all remember that? Every time she preached, she would say it, turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh so God can penetrate it. So the word don't bounce off. I know you've been through a lot, but God didn't do that to you. Don't let your hearts become hard. I love y'all. Doing what satisfies themselves. Some knowing that change was necessary, but choosing to remain as they were. They were secure and careless. They knew not until the flood came and took them away. The problem was not that they knew not. The problem was that they would not know. They would not know. They knew. But they wouldn't know. They ignored it. The warnings came. The word came. Doesn't it come? If you come to real life, the warnings come. It doesn't matter who's behind this desk. Any of the preachers who preach in here are preaching the Bible. The warning comes. And God loves us so much, he put the warning on TV. Yes, He put the warning on the radio. He put the warning on the podcast. He put the warning on Twitter. He put the warning on Facebook. It's everywhere. It's a man riding around in a truck with the warning written on his van. He ride downtown with the warning on his van. Repent. I've seen him before. Ride down 516. And before, when you pass by the railroad yard, look to your right before you get to 17. And right there on the right, there's a warning on the sign. We see warnings, mother, when our steps get a little closer together. Y'all remember when we used to take long strides? Now we... Y'all fellas remember when Super Bowl Sunday, we used to get out there and play a little Super Bowl ourselves? Let us play a Super Bowl now. Let us play a good game, a hard-hitting tackle now. When nobody be at work tomorrow. Everybody will be laid up. You know why? It's a warning. It's a warning. I was about to go there next. Some of us didn't need these. In fact, some of us, we needed them, but just to see off at a distance. But now somebody bring you something, you say, wait a minute, hold on. Can I get a witness? It's a warning. It's letting you know you don't have forever. Thank you, Lord. They just flat out refused to believe. So as my wife and I were sitting Wednesday one together side by side watching CNN. And the news people were on the news, and they were interviewing people who had been stuck at CVS's and Walgreens and Home Depot's and Lowe's and stuff like that. And they interviewed people, and they would say things like, well, at what point did you get angry? Well, who should we blame? I say, well, you shouldn't be trying to corner them into answering a certain question. Y'all want them to be mad at somebody. The media is something else now. You watch that. They watch the way they ask the questions, Elder. Well, who should we be mad at? So they asked this one young lady, who she should be mad at. She messed the whole interview up. Well, who should we blame for this? She said, well, there's a lot of blame to go around. I said, uh-oh. This ain't going the way they want it to go. I could tell. I could feel it. And she said, well, you know, the mayor, he could have done. And the DOT, they could have. And the governor. And they could have staggered the time people left. And she said, but you know what? She said, we are to blame too. Well. I'm smiling now. I'm smiling because I know that wasn't what she wanted. She said, because some of us were out there on the road and didn't have to be. Oh, help me now, Holy Ghost. She said, I was out there, watch this, because I didn't believe that it was going to be as bad as they said it was going to be. So she spent the night in Walgreens because she wouldn't believe the report. Y'all better help me. And some people are going to spend eternity in hell because they wouldn't believe the report. Or some going to stay depressed because they wouldn't believe the report. Or some going to be anxious all their life because they wouldn't believe the report. Marriage is going to split because they wouldn't believe the report. We're not going to live the abundant life because we wouldn't. See, that's the thing. The forecast came, but people ignored it. And you know why they ignored it? My dad and I talked about it Tuesday, right, Pop? Here's what we said on Tuesday. It don't look like a storm's coming. Tuesday was beautiful. It was one of the prettiest days we've had this year. It was warm. The sun was out. Wasn't no wind blowing. There were no signs of a storm. But oh, when we woke up Wednesday. Can I get a witness in here? Man. I'm telling you, my dry car was covered with ice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, what a difference a day makes. The beauty of the day we're in lulls us into a false sense of security. Thinking that if it's going so well now, it can't change that drastically. But we're ignoring the warnings. We're ignoring the wars and the rumors of war. We're ignoring the fact that children are disobedient to parents. We're ignoring the fact that the love of many has waxed cold. We're ignoring all the signs that you better get ready. Jesus is coming back. And people say stuff like, well, they've been saying that for years. It doesn't mean it ain't going to happen. Huh? It's going to happen. He's coming back. Thank you, Lord. So he says, let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be two men in the field. Invasion of the body snatchers. Yeah, you preached that. Oh, at a Friday night fire. Yeah, back in the 90s. That was a good word, too. There'd be two men. They'd be working in the field, Elder. One going to be taken. The other one's going to be left. So going to be two guys, same occupation, same status, same pay grade, working side by side. And one of the guys going to turn his head for a minute. And when he look back, the other guy going to be gone. You seen so-and-so? No. I pray to God that none of us are the one looking for folk. I pray to God that you, oh my God, because if folks start disappearing and you still looking, that's a bad sign. Look at your neighbors. That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. And so that we won't be biased, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Listen to what he says now. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Watch, you better watch. You better watch. Hallelujah. The word watch means be ready. It means to live in expectation of his coming. We're supposed to be living as if he's really coming. But know this right here, though. Here's the clincher. This is the verse that got me. That if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. Sister King, right? If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. But the thing about it is that the burglars... they don't call you and say, look here, I'm running a little late. I had to dump off this stuff that I stole from your neighbor. I'll be there by 11:30 so you can prepare for him. He comes when you don't expect him. Wow. See? Therefore, you also be, there it is, ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not, come on, expect. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. Live a life that says, I'm grateful for what Christ has done for me. See? For those of you who are not saved, today is the day of salvation. He allowed you, because of his love for you, to live to see today so that you could be saved. That's why you have life today. You have life today because God allowed it. The Bible says he doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. He wants you to be saved. And I'm not saying this because I want you to join this church. I'm saying this because I don't want you to spend eternity in hell. Neither does God. He loves you with an everlasting love. If you're thinking that he only loves the church people, the Bible says he loved the world. Amen. So much that he gave his only begotten son. See, he gave Jesus for you. And so you need to be saved today. If you're backslidden and you walked away from Christ, you need to come back today. Because see, the problem with being backslidden is that you know right. But you just refuse to humble yourself to what God has spoken. So see, to be backslidden is like, it's one of the worst types of rebellion. Because you know how you're supposed to live before God. But then you just choose to do something different. And can I say that if something happened to you in church, or something happened with a believer that caused you to walk away, don't let an incident with a human keep you from your relationship with God. Because humans are flawed and they make mistakes. They say wrong things sometimes. They do wrong things sometimes. But you have to ask yourself, did God do that to me? So if you're backslidden today, I'm going to make the appeal, and I pray that you come. I pray that you put aside all of your feelings about what people will think about you or how people will look at you, because the most important thing in this moment right here is to know that God loves you and he wants you back with him so badly that he would interrupt Kronos with this word. This is a Kairos. This Sunday can be super. Now, for all of us who are saved, we have to live a life that says, God, I thank you for sending Jesus. We have to forgive people who wronged us. We have to let offenses go. We have to stop being depressed and feeling dejected and rejected. We have to stop being anxious and worried. Can I speak to somebody? We have to stop being so hungry for money. We have to stop being sensual and being licentious and taking different types of, you know what I'm saying, leaves of our holy living to go experience things that feed our flesh. We got to begin to walk in righteousness at all times. Come on, we got to love people that people don't know ordinarily love. Come on, we got to have a giving heart. Come on. Come on, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart so that we can give it to other people. We can't be religious. We got to be relational. We got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us have got some moves to make today. And today, if you're not saved, come. No man knows. You're thinking you have more time, but you may not.